Thank you for the chance to worship you. God, thank you for all that you've accomplished for us on the cross, which we sang about today. God, thank you that you haven't left us here helpless, but that you've given us your word, you've filled us with your Holy Spirit, and that you want to guide us into all truth and in every area of our lives. And we ask that you would open up our hearts to really understand your word. And I pray there would be new opportunities and new revelations for everyone here and fellowshipping with you and hearing your voice. God, we ask for your power to be present even in this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to try to not review too much, but this is in the midst of a series called Training Our Senses to Follow God. And it starts with, and I'll just read those introductory scriptures, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The writer says, "Concerning him we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." I think our culture, unfortunately, isn't even able to handle milk. We know it's happening in the natural. I knew of no one being lactose intolerant when I was a kid. Now it seems to be most people. And, I mean, everyone you meet is like, well, I try to stay away from milk and dairy and cheese. And that's not a good thing if you live in Wisconsin. But I think we've become lactose intolerant with the scriptures as well. Orthodox Church thinks it's Paul. We just know it as Hebrews. But the writer is correcting them, saying, "I wanted to give you meat, but all you could handle is milk." I think right now people aren't even drinking milk. They're not even just even reading. You know, in the old days there was Our Daily Bread, and they would have like four verses for you. Or you would read 6 minutes with God, 7 minutes with God. And I mean, and that was like, man, I did 7 minutes with God. I'm like a really radical Christian. And we don't even do that anymore. And I think our church hopefully is above the curve, and that you guys are actually reading the word. But, you know, you can read through the New Testament in like 20 hours. Easy if you were to do it. And that's about how long I think they would say it takes to read the Lord of the Rings books. And yet we have our culture has all read all the Harry Potters. How about just read your whole Bible and see if that doesn't change your life? And I guarantee you it'll have more of an impact than Harry Potter's books. For sure more of a positive impact. So what we're talking about then the last few weeks is they're being corrected for being dull of hearing. The word dull literally means sluggish, you know, that inactive, not putting any effort into it. And they're not hearing from God. And so I did mention a few weeks ago that I think it's hard to hear from God. I don't believe in all the teaching that's going around saying it's easy and here's my 5 quick and easy steps to hear from God. I don't think it's easy. If it was easy, it would be just like Alexa. You would just say, "God, what's this?" And then God would answer. And it's not that easy. It's hard. You have to press in. You have to put effort into it. You have to be calling out to God, coming before God, and you have to be alert and paying attention because God is speaking. There's no problem there. That's the truth. John 10, Jesus made it really clear. "My sheep know me and they hear my voice." And he's speaking all the time. But we have to learn to slow down, disconnect from all the distractions around us, to pay attention to him, and then to start watching clues and waiting for him to speak. And he speaks a lot of different ways. As far as out loud, anytime I've asked, it's usually out of 25 people, one maybe has heard the audible voice of God. And so it's not as easy as Alexa or Google. He doesn't speak out loud that often. And if he did, you know, we would all remember that. And I want him to make it easier. I mean, I've asked him hundreds of times. I remember once when I was struggling with a decision I was making. I was pastoring in Minneapolis. And I went out to the stadium, was right across the street from where I lived, and it was open. I walked in and I sat in the bleachers, and I had just watched the movie with Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams. And in that movie, all of a sudden, he gets a message on the scoreboard. You know, if you build it, he will come. You know, and he go the distance, and different messages are coming different ways. So I sat there praying for hours one day. I was fasting, and I'm like, Lord, put a message on the scoreboard. And I was so sure it was going to happen. I was just staring at that scoreboard, waiting for it to just light up. And that would have been awesome testimony. But it didn't. God still ended up speaking to me, but not in the way I wanted, not in the way I expected or asked. He did it other ways. And he's always faithful to do it that way, but you have to be open. So I'm going through at least 10 ways that God is still speaking and always has spoke that we see in the scripture. So far, we've gone through 4 of them. Number 1, through your conscience. Everyone has a conscience, saved or not saved. You have a conscience. And your conscience helps tell you what's right and wrong. So if you're wondering, should I take this iPhone sitting here? Your conscience says no. I don't know if you've watched, there's a lot of people do stolen iPhone pranks on YouTube. And some nights I'm just distracted with life and I start watching prank videos. And I'll maybe spend 4 or 5 hours doing that. And one of them that was going on for a long time is they put an electric buzzer in the iPhone and then they'd leave it on a park bench. So a guy would have it sitting there and then he'd get up and walk away while they're filming and then just see what happens. And it's like over and over and over, people grab the iPhone. They kind of look around, sit down on the bench, just kind of pocket it, and then slowly walk away. And after they start walking away, they hit the electrical buzzer, and it fires an electric current into the phone and burns their hand or their pants, and all of a sudden they freak and throw it to the ground, and then they come out and say, dude, what are you doing? Stealing my phone. People have no conscience, and the Bible does say that you can get to the point that the more you violate your conscience, you sear it. It literally is like it's been burned over, and there's a scab over it. It's not responding. The bell doesn't go off. You can't hear it. The light isn't flashing when something's wrong. You're just numb to it. And we don't want to be that way. That's why we want to be always sensitive and do what we know is right or wrong so that we don't scar our conscience. The second and most common way that people will hear from God is through the Word of God, reading the Bible. And there's basic truth, like if you're wondering, you know, about some things in life, should I marry a non-Christian? Well, you read your Bible, you don't need a voice from God on that in a heavenly, mystical, spiritual way. The Bible just says you should not be, equally yoked, and you should not be yoked with an unbeliever. And you read it and you're like, oh, okay, well that answers that. You don't need, and then people will oftentimes like, I've shared this story earlier this year, but I had a friend who came to me and said, I really believe I'm supposed to divorce my wife. And what do you think? He goes, I've talked to many pastors, they all agree with me. And I said, well, I think that's pretty easy. The Bible says no. I don't need like a word from God. No. And he's like, but no. You don't have to go into the supernatural realm. You just read what the Bible says. Simple. I had another friend when I was in college. I was discipling him. And he said to me, my fiance and I, we've really been praying. And we feel like God said, go ahead and sleep together. And I said, no. What do you think? I said, no. He's like, God spoke that to you? Well, no. It's just in the Bible everywhere. And he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, the whole, you know, truth thing, like no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's that, you know, but yet, like that wasn't God that spoke to you. So people often misuse God's name. They're like, God told me to take the iPhone that I had asked for one and it was sitting there and he was blessing me. I've heard that from people. You can start to sear your conscience by not responding in the little ones. Like, you go, and nowadays it's so common, but you get your change back if you were using cash. Most of us are only using debit cards when we buy things now, or credit cards. But if you use cash, the odds are really high they're going to give you the wrong amount of change back. People don't do math much anymore. The maths are hard, you know? This whole counting down from 20 thing gets really overwhelming. But I can't tell you how many times, because I pay attention, I know when I've been overcharged, because I've already kind of calculated as I shop, and I'm like, I'm between 100 and 110. And so they go 117, and I'm like, no, wait a sec. And I'll look, and they'll be like two or three times they double charge me for something. I pay attention. I also pay attention when I get change. And I get often, they'll hand me an extra 10, 5, a 20, because they'll go, let's see, here's, and they'll hand me $23 out of my 20. And I'm like, okay. And at that moment, it's so easy to go, thank you, Jesus. You love me, and you just blessed me with extra cash. But that would be stealing. So instead, I got to go, no, this is wrong, and I give it back. A couple months ago, I actually had to give a 20 back. I got an extra 20, and the person was like mortified. Like, they almost gave away an extra 20. That really hoses up your drawer count, right? And so, but I always do. Now, it's those little ones that help you to do the right thing. You know it from Scripture, and you'll know it from your conscience. And if you violate those things, you start to harden your conscience, and you start to ignore the Word of God, and pretty soon you're not getting anything from it because you've already blown God off. Anyway, don't do it. Just do the right thing. You always know what the right thing is. Number three, through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. And I gave you a lot of examples of this, but God is always speaking to us if we're willing to listen. And often that's an easy one. As you learn to hear His voice, you'll sense things in your heart all the time. I shared a few with my children, and these happen all the time. You know, one time I was just praying for my kids, and the Lord just in my heart said, you better go find your daughters. And I'm like, whoa, what's that one? And I knew they had gone for a run. So I go, and I'm driving our neighborhood. I knew kind of where they had gone for a run, and I find them, and they're like having this fight, discussion, you know, angry with each other, you know, and then they were mad at me. And so all of a sudden I stopped, talked with them. They repented. Everybody got along. Everything was beautiful. Who knows what was going to happen, but it was a simple one. God just put in my heart, go find them. Now, in some ways, that's going to lead into today's message. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And I'm going to come back to that one and other ones that I've even shared with you. But God is still speaking if we're listening. The fourth one we talked about last week was through other people, where it could be one of your own kids telling you, Dad, I don't think you're supposed to get mad like that. And you're like, oh, yeah, who told you? You're six. And they're like, well, I just think you preach that. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right. Dad, sorry. Kids speak to us all the time. And kids, here's a radical one. God's speaking to you through your parents. Like when they say, you clean your room, that was the voice of God. If you missed it, you missed the voice of God. Because you are under their authority, and when they speak, it's God speaking. So quiet. That's God speaking. If your parents say clean your room, it would be no different than if there were fire on your rooftop, a trembling, a shaking, a hurricane force wind, and a being glowing with eyeballs on all sides of its head walking into your room and telling you the same thing. It is the voice of God. Now, if you ignore that, you are ignoring the voice of God. And then when you cry out and say, oh, God, you know, how come you're not speaking to me? He's like, I did like eight times yesterday through your mom, your dad, your big brother, your big sister, and you ignored them all. So screw you in Jesus' name. In fact, let me read you. Here's a nice chapter. It's affectionately God saying exactly that. If you read your proverb of the day, 2 days ago, the first. Here's how it ends. Verses 20 through 33. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, or simple ones, some versions say, will you love simplicity and scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Here's the straight up verse then, starting at 26. Because you've neglected me, you didn't listen to me, you didn't pay attention. He said, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then you'll call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. That's kind of a screw you. He's like, I've been answering you, talking to you, showing you things, and you ignore it. And oh, now you have a struggle in life and you cry out to me. Well, forget it. Now, there's mercy, and thank God for forgiveness, right? We have Jesus who's ready to forgive us. But don't think it's automatic. You're going to have to say, Lord, I have been a brat. You asked me to clean my room 100 times. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I repent. Then you might actually have to clean your room, not just say you're sorry. Then maybe you'll start to see God get involved in your life. I think we've kind of twisted up his mercy and forgotten that he actually is still a holy, awesome God who expects you to obey. And our culture's gotten to where it's all about love, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. We forgot about fire, holiness, power, melting people. We've forgotten those verses. And so when we're talking about hearing from God, and I don't want to get stuck on this trail, that would be like a gospel crusade message. But if you're not obeying God and what he's already shown you, don't expect to be hearing a lot other times. And don't expect his help when things are going rough. But if you'll just repent, he'll cleanse you, and you'll start finding grace, mercy. You'll start having his help in every area of your life. Okay, well, the simple ways that God speaks to us are those oftentimes. Today we're going to get into number 5, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are very similar and sometimes one and the same as some of the ones we've talked about. But let me read this. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Paul writes, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, there are 3 different rounds of gifts talked about in Scripture, but in this passage, he's really talking about the Holy Spirit gifting you for a situation. And it can happen in any given way of those ways to each of us. A lot of times we want to lock in and say, this is my gift and this is what I do. But in this thing, this isn't what he's talking about. Imagine that there is this, that God's Spirit is here and he has all these abilities And he looks to see what ability you need at the moment, and he'll give you that one. We all can flow in any of these gifts. Some are going to be more astute and more easily flow in one over the other, but at any moment, any of them become available. Now, in the body, he'll distribute it. He won't give you, you know, one person to do everything that needs to be done. So in a given meeting, someone might have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a prophecy. Like I mentioned last week, once I was in a meeting when I was early learning about the gifts of the Spirit, and I started to get pain in my hip, and the Lord was speaking in my heart at the same time. I'm like, Lord, what's this pain? I'm young. I shouldn't have pain. And he was like, someone else needs healing in that hip. You know, shout it out. And I'm like, no way. I was too scared. So then after worship, a couple comes up to me and says, hey, you know, my wife needs a healing. We're wondering if you could pray. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, yeah, it's her hip. And I'm like, it's her right hip. And he goes, how'd you know? I already knew. So God had already given me a word of knowledge so that I could participate and pray for her. And then a gift of healing is available and she got healed. All the pain gone and she was like different. And I started to see that happen all the time. But all these gifts are available to us. So let me tell you a few of them. Let's just talk about a few that really relate to hearing from God. Prophecy would be obvious. God often speaks to us through prophecy where God will give words to someone that then relate to us. It can be a prophecy to the whole church or it could be a personal prophecy. God just speaking to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 3, Paul writes, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. We've made it simple over the years. We've said that that's to build you up, to stir you up, or to cheer you up. And that's what prophecy is supposed to be. If you go, and I've visited churches over the years that are really into prophecy, and oftentimes they get sucked into always speaking negative things to one another. That would not be scriptural prophecy. It's supposed to build you up, stir you up, cheer you up, not bring you down, pummel you, and kick you out. And so that's usually just ornery people using the name of God as a way to give a message. It's not scriptural prophecy. So God speaks directly to you through another person. It might be through words that they hear a message. Just like you might hear the voice of God in your heart, you hear something. Or it could be through images and visions. And really just all of a sudden pictures popping into your mind. When we were first pastors, there was a big congress on the Holy Spirit in New Orleans that my wife and I went to. It was 1986. And in it, we had a big meeting where about 500 of us from our ministry were there. And we brought in about a half a dozen high-powered prophets from around the body of Christ. None of them from our ministry, all from outside, mostly apostolic guys, prophetic leaders from around the nation. And they prophesied over Annie and I, and I've played it for many of you over and over, because over the next like 8-10 minutes of prophecy, they laid out things about our ministry and our lives that has been true to this day. For over 30 years, we've gotten ministered to by those words of encouragement that were spoken over us. Things that we forget, and we'll start doing something in ministry, and then we'll play it again years later and go, oh my gosh, exactly what they said is happening. And it's been very encouraging. There was a point in our ministry, I was pastoring in Madison, and we were going through some hard times, financial times, and struggles with the church. And I was like, God, you need to speak to me. Like, you know, I didn't have a scoreboard there. I'm just like, I don't care how you do it, but you got to speak to me. So then I heard there was a friend of mine was having a big conference on prophetic ministry and the Holy Spirit in Kentucky. So I thought, I'm going to drive to that. It'll be awesome. So I get there, and there's a few English apostles and prophets there, and I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, I knew I needed to be here. God's going to speak to me. It's going to be awesome. So they get all set. We go through a day of worship and preaching, and I'm all pumped up, and they're like, we're going to have prophetic ministry now. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. God is going to speak to me. I'm so excited. And then he looks, he goes, Michael, come on up and join us up here. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I drove here because God needs to speak to me. No, but I'm not going to say no in front of the crowd. I'm like, you know, kind of like going up there, and I get up front, and so they pray, and then they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. If you'd like a word from God, raise your hand. Teams are going to go out, and there was like about 6 or 8 of us. We're going to go through the crowd, and they're going to prophesy over you. So I'm like, fine. So, I mean, I was crabby about it. But I'm like, fine, but I'm obedient. You know, I might not always have the perfect smile on my face like my wife, but I'm always obedient. And so I'm like, fine. So I walk over to lady and I'm like, yabba dabba do, you know, whatever. Here we are. Okay. And I'm praying. And all of a sudden, God just rushes through me. And I start prophesying over her. And she just starts bawling and she's getting set free. And then she gets delivered and then she's healed. And I'm like, okay. That was kind of fun. So then one after another, I walked around prophesying over person after person. And by the end of the couple hours, I was vibrating. I mean, I was like, okay. I didn't get an answer to what I was asking for, but I got an answer that I wasn't asking for. I came back to our church and said, hey, we got to start prophesying over people. And we did. We started having prophetic presbyteries. We're prophesying. The church just started like coming unglued. The power of God was moving, and we just, from that moment on, we've been a prophetic people. But it all started with me saying, come on, God. But he answered. Now that would be God using the gifts of the Spirit through me to speak to me. That's crazy. Over the years, it's very fun and interesting to watch how God speaks to different people. We had a guy in our church for years, John in Madison, who almost, he was a PhD in chemistry, and almost every prophecy or vision he had some kind of explosive in it. It was every time. It was just who he was. And yet they were always encouraging, always powerful. I began to see that happen in my ministry. I was in prophesying over a guy in Madison. And as we laid hands on him, instantly I had a picture of Gumby in my mind. And if you know, Gumby's like that green action figure. Action. I say that, you know, 60s action figure. And as I saw Gumby, if you know Gumby, there's wires that go through his arms and legs so you could move him into different positions. And as I saw the picture of Gumby, I saw all the wires were busted in Gumby. So I'm just sitting there going, okay, Lord, I got Gumby and busted wires in Gumby. What's that all about? And then I didn't get an answer. So I just asked the guy. I said, hey, Doug, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a picture of Gumby with all of his wires busted. I think it means God wants to heal your body, but I don't know what that means. What would that be? And he just couldn't believe it. He's like, I've been struggling with a nerve disorder, and they've been telling me it's like all the wiring of my body is disconnected and that the wiring isn't working, and that's why I'm having shooting pain throughout my whole body, in my arms, my back, my legs. It's like the wiring is broken. And I'm like, okay. And so the minute I shared that, it built his faith up. God spoke to him through Gumby. And then we laid hands on him and he was instantly healed. He never had a problem with that again. And I remember another time I was in Missouri at a church ministering. And the pastor said, would you prophesy over my daughter? And she was probably 6, 8 years old. And I lay hands on her and instantly I see Princess Barbie. And she wasn't like a Princess Barbie looking girl wearing a crown. She was kind of a chunky girl and she was having a little hard time in life. But I saw Princess Barbie and I started prophesying and all this stuff came out about being a powerful woman of God and a princess and that like Princess Barbie. Well, afterwards, she's just weeping, full of joy, weeping, full of joy, because her only favorite thing in life was Princess Barbie. I had never met her before, never seen her before. But she instantly was delivered of some discouragement, some depression, and she had hope and faith. Her whole life, it was transformed as a young girl just through an image of Princess Barbie. Prophecy, God will speak through other people to us using that gift of prophecy. Now, if I walked up to her, I wouldn't say, hey, here's what I'm thinking, Princess Barbie, you know, because it's not what she looked like at all. But when I laid hands on her, God spoke to me. That's where it's different. It wasn't my natural insight. Now, it's easy, you know, you can see someone that's wearing pink tight jeans and walking, you know, like a sissy boy across the room, and you could think, you're a homosexual. Well, you know, that's not prophetic. That's pathetic, but that's just obvious paying attention to something. But there are times when God will just speak. Early on, when I was just learning to do this, a friend of mine was sharing a story how he walked into a convenience store. And there was just a regular guy working at the counter. And the Lord spoke to him as he walked in and said, this man's a homosexual. I want you to tell him that I love him and I'm ready to set him free. And my friend's just like, okay. He said he shopped in this like 7-Eleven for about 15 minutes. Kind of like, because he knew what he's supposed to say, but he's just like, oh, maybe here's a water. No, maybe not water. Maybe this water, you know, because he just was scared. Finally, he's like, I got to do it. So he just walks up and says, this might be a little weird, but I walked in, the Lord spoke to me and told me, you're a homosexual, but God loves you, and he's ready to set you free when you're ready to be free. And the guy just looked at him and said, thank you. And that was it. Story doesn't go any further because he left the convenience store. Wow. But he didn't smack him. He didn't punch him. He didn't, you know, argue with him. He just said, thank you. And you know, that had to be haunting him, that God had been there and spoken to him. And so even silly things that seem silly to you can be life-changing, powerful. Through prophecy or even through a word of knowledge. One that we've shared a lot, a guy that we've had in here, Rusty Russell. He's a prophet. One day he was walking across a campus, and as he was walking, he passed a girl, and the Lord said, tell her I love her. And he just kept walking, and he's like, what? And he goes, and he keeps walking, and then the Lord shouts it at him, tell her that I love her, and I'm here for her, you know? And he's like, oh, whatever. You know, and he kept kind of like, finally hears it a third time. So he turns around, runs and catches her, and he says, I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but God just told me to tell you that he loves you, and he's watching you, he's here for you. And she breaks down weeping because that morning she said, Lord, I want you to talk to me. If someone doesn't let me know or you don't show me that you love me, I'm killing myself when I get home from school today. And so he's just walking and tells her that, and she's instantly delivered, gives her heart to the Lord. Her whole life changed. Now, you could say telling someone that God loves them, well, that's just like what, you know, people would do every day in the hippie revivals, you know, the Jesus people just give you a sticker, smile, God loves you. But this was something that at that moment is exactly what she needed to hear. God speaks through prophecy. Sometimes it gets mixed up and it's hard to categorize these things. But words of knowledge, when it talks about words of knowledge in Scripture, if you're in an evangelical church, they mean that, you know, people that are smart and have master's degrees. So because I have a master's degree in the Bible, I could say, I will give you now a word of knowledge. I know smart stuff. I am smart. That's not a word of knowledge. That's just your own wisdom. And that's not bad. It's good to be wise and study to show yourself approved. But a word of knowledge is when you receive a piece of information from God that you couldn't have known without God. So, like, when I heard from God about the right hip during that meeting, that would be a word of knowledge for a healing. That can happen all the time. And it doesn't have to be just for healing. I was reading a book once called Is That Really You, God? By Lauren Cunningham from the YWAM fame. He started YWAM. And he was a young boy. His mom had given him $5 to go buy milk. And so he took off, and it was like a mile walk or whatever, and along the way he's throwing rocks and playing with dogs and who knows what, and he gets to the store and the $5 is gone. So he searches all the way home and he can't find it, comes home crying, tells his mom, I lost the money, I don't know where it is. And she's like, well, let's just pray and ask God to show us. And so they prayed, and she instantly gets a vision and sees a $5 bill stuck in the base of a bush. She saw where it was, and she saw what the bush looked like. It's like a word of knowledge. She couldn't have known where that money was, but God gave her that information. Now, you could even say it's a word of wisdom, and I don't know how sometimes differentiating between them. But so they got in the car, they drove, she kept looking, they found the bush, they walk, and she goes, that looks just like it. They walk, they dig around, there's $5 tucked in the bush. He said from that moment he learned that he could hear from God by asking. There was a book called How to Live Like a King's Kid back in the 70s. Harold Hill wrote it. He's an engineer. And in it, he shares a lot of stories how God blessed his engineering business through words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Where there are times where he would show up, and one was, I think, he was coming to fix some part of a rocket at NASA. Literally, it was something that their firm had engineered a piece of something at it, and he walks in, they had been working on it for a week trying to figure out what was wrong. And something wasn't firing right or working right in that setting. He walks in and he just prays, oh God, give me wisdom. And as he walks up, he sees a vision of a bolt loose, tucked up in a certain part of it. So they bring out a ladder, and he climbs up and he goes up into the machinery and behind, and sure enough, he finds this loose thing. And they're like, we've been working on this a week. How did you know? He's like, God showed me. And there's story after story of that, of God speaking, even in your business life, even in everyday life, he's ready to give you information that will be a blessing. Well, words of knowledge are, you know, we're out of the blue. You just have an insight that just like blows your mind. I was pastoring Minneapolis, and a guy from a ministry called Campus Crusade and I were meeting now and then for lunch, because he wanted to glean from me about things of the Spirit. Their ministry was kind of anti-Holy Spirit at the time. And he's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just getting things. I don't know what to do with it. So, like, he had a word for one of their national leaders. And he said, I had this word that he was committing adultery, and if he didn't repent, God was going to take his life. He's like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, well, you could call him, I guess, or write him a letter. It would be an easier route. And he's like, I'm doing it. I was like, really? So he writes this whole letter, sends it off. The guy gets back to him and says, thank you. You were right. And he repented of the relationship and went on. Now, he didn't know that. He couldn't have known that. It wasn't guessing, oh, I saw them making out at a hotel at a conference. That would be a word of paying attention. But this is a word of knowledge. God, out of the blue, gave him that. And there's a lot of examples that I could share, and other people share them with you. But trust me, it's a way that God does speak. And if you're sensitive, you'll start hearing those things. Now, if you get it wrong, just say, well, I blew it. You don't go to hell if you stumble and get it wrong. Just like we don't get rid of children that poop. I mean, my grandchildren don't, obviously. I mean, that's why they can go 9 months, you know. She didn't even need diapers for 9 months. I think that was the testimony, right? Or no, the testimony was how many diapers you all bought her. No, that's right, I forgot, sorry. But the same is true with our lives. You're going to make mistakes, but you'll never learn until you take chances. So sometimes you'll say, you know, I'm feeling like God is saying this, and is this true of you, that you've struggled with this or that? And people go, no. Then you don't want to, like, over-spiritualize it. Well, Have you ever met anyone that struggles with that? Have you ever even heard the term? Have you ever seen a commercial on television that mentions that? That's what we start to do. So people that give altar calls were like, no one responds to become a Christian. So they're like, is there anyone here that, you just feel bad in life and you know you should be more committed? And then raise your hand. And they're like, that's right, I got that. Well, that's anytime you speak, you could get that. That's just because you didn't want to admit maybe you were wrong about something else. But anyway, don't be ornery. Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom are when God supernaturally gives you guidance on where to go, what to do, or what to say. So like I said, when she saw that picture of her mind, Lauren Cunningham's mom, of that $5 bill, it's like a word of knowledge, but it's also like a word of wisdom. She knew to find that bush and that she would be there. I told a story a few weeks ago about Annie driving to the Y, and instead of taking the route she had taken 100 times before, the Lord had told her to drive downtown instead. Well, she wasn't thinking about it. That's hearing the voice of God, but technically, it's probably a word of wisdom. Don't drive here. And it turned out that a train hit a car right on the route that she would have normally taken, but God had spoken to her to go the other way. When I mentioned last week once, when one of my daughters, the Lord had spoke to me, said, you need to find Elizabeth. And I'm like, oh, okay. And we were off, so I'm like, I got to find Elizabeth. So first stop, I turned around, I drove home, and she's the one, I'm going to expose her on tape. She's the one that she had been taking off to go to a friend's house. When we left, she was on her bike, helmet on. As we drove back up, she was biking down our street with no helmet on, but it was in her backpack. And so it was a little thing, just a small thing, but who knows? Maybe God knew. Maybe she was going to get, in an accident, and that helmet would be needed. But we don't know. But at that moment, I was able to say, hey, that's not what we do. And she's like, sorry, Dad. She's always instantly obedient and put the helmet back on. But, it's tough to mess with your curly locks, your beautiful hair, with a helmet. Don't worry about your brain scrambling, but you want your hair good. Words of wisdom can be in a situation where you're not sure what to do. And you say, God, we don't know what to do. And as you pray, He'll speak to you. And, once we were in Costa Rica, and we came up, we were in a bus, and we came up to a bridge that was looking a little shaky. And so we stopped and we prayed. And it was pretty obvious, partly fear, but I think it was word of wisdom. God said, walk across, but drive the bus around. And because there were planks missing in the bridge. And so this is legit. The bridge goes over a river that's filled with like 20-foot long crocodiles or alligators. I'm not sure which is which. And so we're walking on these planks across. And then the bus had to take the long route and go all the way around, but we were able to get across and in the meantime, without disaster striking, we could have stuck on the bus, I suppose, too, but we were able to feed the alligators and have a nice time. But it would be, in any kind of setting, you're saying, hey, Lord, spare me. I've shared once I was discipling a guy from Tunisia. He grew up in a Muslim family. And this was at Iowa State University. And he went home after getting saved. He went home to have dinner with his family. And while he was sitting there, the Lord spoke to him and said, don't eat the food. And he's like, don't eat the food. After the meal, he didn't eat. He excused himself. He found out later that his family had poisoned his food. They were so offended that he had become a Christian that they actually had poisoned his food and were going to kill him. And as he sat for dinner, God spoke to him a word of wisdom, don't eat the food. Well, I was like 20 years old when he's telling me this story. I was just like wide-eyed, like, oh my gosh, you need to hear the voice of God all the time. And not grow up in a Muslim family. But if you do, it's important that you're hearing the voice of God. And so another way is the discerning of spirits. In Matthew 16:23, Jesus turned to Peter, and you know the story, he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And the thing about the discernment of spirits is it's not just always discerning a demon. It can also be discerning angels, and it can even be discerning flesh and discerning motives, and where you have a sense that you know what's going on. I would say for me, I have a pretty strong sense about demons. I just have a knowing. I think those of you that operate in discerning of spirits, you know there's cities you go in and you're like, this city is nasty. Like in the spirit, there's demons that are controlling that city. You might walk into someone's home and you just get the creeps. And it's not just because there's a vampire in the corner or mist in the room. You don't even have to see anything physically. You're just like, ooh, wow, there's darkness in here. Usually you sense that and you'll start seeing things that'll indicate it. There's a dream catcher over here and there's a bunch of like masks on this wall and there's a Buddha over on this shelf and you'll start seeing all kinds of witchcraft things and before you even see that, you already sense that it's there. People are different in how God uses that gift in them. I know a guy that I had spent a lot of time with, these evangelists from India. He would get discernment through smell. And he could smell demons. Like he would get in a cab and he'd go, whoa, and he'd smell the spirit of adultery. And he literally knew what the smells were like by experience, by training himself. And so he'd smell it and he'd say to the cab driver, you know, Jesus can set you free so that you don't need to cheat on your wife. And he'd be like, wait, what? And how did you know that? And he's like, I could smell it. That's pretty intense. Some he would tell me, and I didn't learn his gift because I can't smell it anyway. So, but some spirits would smell like rotten eggs. He would smell it, and not just because you're at Yellowstone Park or whatever, but he could smell it. He also in his meetings, oftentimes, and this we did experience where while he would be ministering, all of a sudden the Spirit of God would come and the whole room would fill with like the smell of roses. And like everyone would be like, what is happening? And I mean, we'd have some wild things happen at his meetings. But see, smell was like a big thing for him in a lot of areas of his life. So he could smell demons. He could even smell when God was moving. The rose of Sharon and the smell of roses comes in the room. I was ministering once. A friend called me up and I went to minister to some people in Florida with him. And while we were ministering to a guy who's a Christian leader there and at a big ministry, as we were ministering, all of a sudden I saw an image of a spike heel, a woman's spike heel jammed in his back. And I was like, you know, and it was like so intense. And so that would be like a word of knowledge, but yet I'm like, what is that? Well, then the discerning of spirits kicked in, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? And he said, it's a spirit, a Ahab spirit. His wife has a Jezebel spirit. She's been mistreating him. And so I shared it with him, and he's like, yeah, exact. And so he got delivered of some things, delivered of not being a man and standing up. And I mean, it was pretty intense. Well, at the same time, we were ministering to another guy, my friend who I was ministering with. We're casting out a spirit of divination, and all of a sudden, he sees this giant snake wrapped around the guy's spine. And as I'm commanding the spirit to leave, he watches it start unwrapping all the way down and around. And literally, he's watching it, and he's like, it's gone. And it was like, right when he said that, I had the same sense in my heart. But I never saw that happening. But he would see demons and see that. So sometimes you feel it. You know, when Annie and I were doing a lot of deliverance back in the day, Annie would oftentimes feel things in her body. Just like I felt things for healing, she would feel demons. Like someone would have a spirit of rebellion. All of a sudden her neck would start cramping up. And then I'd be like, I feel like we should pray against spirit of rebellion. And she'd be like, yep. Because she would feel different things. And she literally would started to know, when I feel this, I'll bet it turns out to be this. And you start to train your senses where you start to pay attention to things that are going on. I have a pretty strong gift of discernment when it comes to motives. And I try to hold back because I could get super annoying. And I still do at times, but where someone will do something like, if people are bragging, or you know, they're doing fake bragging or humble bragging, you know, I'm just all over it because the bells just start going off in my mind. There's like vision just bam, 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 bam. And I'm just like, okay, wait, stop. And so I help my wife out because she is so gregarious and she's such a social networker type. That she'll want to post things because there's a lot of amazing things happening in our family. And she wants to post it, but she's learned to come to me first. And she'll go, what do you think? Too much bragging? Or is this just like reporting, like good news, testimony? And so she literally, every time now, she'll come to me and I'll go, oh, that's good. God's awesome. You know, that's amen. Go ahead. Post it. Bam. And then sometimes I'll just go, and she'll be like, I knew it. She's just hoping I say, go ahead and brag. But it's very clear for me. There's no mystery there. And it's clearer than maybe most people have. So, but God uses that to direct us, to give us wisdom, to give us insight, to tell you, you know, when to be careful. Like if you're in a business deal and all of a sudden the alarms start going off and you're like, this guy is not living for God like he says he is. This guy's a crook. This guy has a spirit of theft and betrayal on him. Then you're like, I think I'm going to pass on the deal. And that's important. You know, this is how God does protect you. Maybe you're praying and you're saying, Lord, don't let me make a bad deal. Like you're going to go buy a car from someone on Craigslist. And you're like, you know, has it had any problems? Well, you know, even bad guys now have learned to just tell you a couple problems to show that they're honest. Well, sometimes it has a little trouble starting in the cold. But otherwise, you know, you just pump it a little bit, it's fine. Then they don't mention that, you know, that the transmission is shot, you know. Other than that, but they don't bring that one up, but they're honest about one thing. Well, in that moment, you can use discernment. God will go, mm-mm. And you're like, huh, okay. Yeah, thanks so much for your time, but I think I'm going to look elsewhere. Now, if you're really radical, you can say, you're lying to me, and God is exposing you. But I would have backup if you do that. You know, if you're there with a few friends when you challenge someone like that. So, but there is discernment of spirits. God will lead you. And so if you've been praying, God, don't let me make a bad decision. That might be how he stops you from making a bad decision, through the discerning of spirits or even a word of knowledge. You know, like maybe you drive it and God says, try slamming on the brakes and see. And you slam on the brakes and like, and you're like, I don't really want to pay $500 for a brake job, so no. But you see, that would be a word of knowledge, maybe a word of wisdom. Slam on the brakes. Now, you know, if you bought a lot of cars or you're a mechanic like Bob, you know, you just know what to look for. That wouldn't be a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. That would just be called wisdom. That's okay too. You don't have to have it supernatural always. Sometimes it's just wisdom. Keep going. Well, I made it through one. All right, let me give you an intro to next week then. I'll give you 5 minutes of intro. Next week we'll start with dreams. And I'm going to share a little bit about something that's going on in our life, then I'll end with that. But here's the thing, we're going to get into dreams. You know, God speaks a lot through dreams in Scripture, and this is even before the Holy Spirit was poured out. There's over 118 references to dreams and dreamers in Scripture, And so I think it's something we got to learn. And so we'll get into that. Next week we'll talk about dreams and visions and trances maybe. Is that